Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We are confronted, we are brought face to face with the person and the character of Jesus Christ. He is unchanging in His person. Now allow me to belabor this point for a moment. This is the great doctrine of the immutability of Christ. He cannot change for the better. How is someone who is perfect going to change for the better? He cannot change for the worse, because He is eternally the same. What He was, or should I say what He always has been, He is, and what He is, He forevermore shall be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Now, you can take this yesterday back as far as you want to take it. Take it back to Calvary. He's the same as He was yesterday at Calvary. Take it back to His earthly ministry. He's the same today as He was yesterday in His earthly ministry. Take it back to His birth in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday at His birth in that lowly setting in Bethlehem. Take it back to His Old Testament appearances when He wrestled with Jacob, when He manifested Himself to Moses at the burning bush, when He revealed Himself to Gideon there by the oak tree. On and on and on throughout the Old Testament, the pre-incarnate Christ appeared and manifested Himself. He's the same today as He was yesterday throughout the Old Testament. Take it back to creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you'll have to say Jesus, being the Creator, was there. And He has not changed. He is the same today as He was yesterday in creation. Take it back before the mud seals of this earth were ever laid. Back into the eternal ages, when His delight was before the Father, and when He communed with Him in perfect harmony. I say He is the same yesterday. From eternity unto this hour, He has not changed. May I add as well, as we emphasize His unchanging person, He is not changed in yesterday and today. Neither will He change between today and forever. Some folks suggest to me that the Jesus they're going to see in heaven is going to be different from the Jesus that is accessible to us right now. I heard a statement by the late Joe Parsons, who used to be a part of this meeting in years gone by. Somebody said to Brother Joe, said, "Won't it be wonderful if the Lord comes tonight?" Brother Joe said, "You sound like you're awful excited about the Lord coming tonight." "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, were you that excited this morning when He came by to fellowship with you?" I want to say to you, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Yes, we're going to have a new body when we get to heaven. And certainly that will be a glorified experience. But Christ will not be any different then than He is now. What makes you think you're going to fall down at His feet when you get to heaven if you never have fallen at His feet down here? What makes you think you're going to love the songs of Zion in heaven when you love all that other stuff down here now? Huh? What makes you think you're going to enjoy sitting down with Jesus and let Him tell you how it all really was when you're not interested in sitting down with Him now and letting Him fellowship with you? I'm saying He is unchanging in His person. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. These two titles bless me. Jesus Christ. The name Jesus, of course, is the Old Testament name Joshua, otherwise rendered Jehoshua or Oshia, even Hosea, meaning God is salvation. And the angel said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." There were three offices in the Old Testament: the office of a prophet, the office of a priest, the office of a king. And you'll find in every office at one time or another in the Old Testament, someone occupied that office with the name Joshua, or Hosea, or Hosea. And I can't help but wonder when the angel said to Joseph, not Mary, as some of the songs tell us, but when the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus," if he didn't look at Mary, Mary looked back at him and say, "A prophet?" And then after they thought on it a few minutes, one of them said, "Well, what about the prophecy of Zechariah? There was a priest by the name of Joshua." And then all of a sudden one said to the other, "And the last king in the northern kingdom was Hosea." Oh, we've not only got a prophet, but we've got a priest, and we have a king. Never before had those three offices been occupied by one individual. David was a prophet and a king, but he was not a priest. Melchizedek was a king and a priest, but he was not a prophet. Oh, here is one who is prophet, priest, and king. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Hey, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is still the deliverer. He is still the able deliverer, the great Savior, the mighty liberator. And so that one title has never changed. What about the next one? Christ. Christ. That name Christ is synonymous with the word Messiah, meaning the anointed one. Of course, one who was anointed in any of the three offices that we've mentioned was anointed, signifying the approval of God and heaven. Jesus may have never been anointed by religious hierarchies. They may have never laid hands on Him, but His very title indicated that He was the approved, the anointed one of heaven. Jesus, that's His ability. Christ, that's His approval. The same yesterday and today and forever. Listen, the world does not have to back you up in a corner or back me up in a corner. We do not have to duck our head when we pray over the food in a restaurant. We don't have to blush when we pass out a gospel tract. We don't have to hide in the shadows and say, "I'm a Christian." Oh, no. We, professing our belief in Jesus Christ, are associated with the ability of God and the backing of heaven when we line up with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Then I want you to notice furthermore, there's an indication, not only from the text, but from the setting of the text. It follows this memorable portion known as the faith division of the Bible. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, and now we come to Hebrews 13. And the Bible says, after all of these patriarchs and prophets and followers of the Lord are mentioned, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. May I say, Christ is not only unchanging in His person, number two, He is unchanging in His program. Let's talk about the patriarchs for a few minutes. We love to idolize Brother Noah, Brother Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, the three Hebrew children, some of the other great saints, like Joshua. I would like to say tonight, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, Noah didn't have a thing on you and me when the Bible says Noah walked with God. Somebody said, boy, wouldn't that be fun to walk with God? Hey, Noah didn't have a thing on you. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Somebody said, wouldn't it been something back there when the Lord spoke to Abraham? Wouldn't you like to have been old Abraham? In fact, if you'll go through the book of Genesis, you'll find that God spoke to Abraham seven times. Five times He spoke to Jacob. Two times He spoke to Isaac. It isn't that God liked Abraham better than He did Isaac or Jacob, but He speaks to all of us on the levels of life where we actually are. I can't help but dabble with this a little bit. You know, some would say, well, that's terrible. God spoke to Abraham seven times and Isaac two times and Jacob five. Isn't that a little bit biased? Isn't that a little bit prejudiced? Well, I agree with you. If I had been God, I would have probably spoken to Jacob more times than anybody else because he was so hard-headed and so difficult that it seemed he couldn't get a hold of what God was saying to him. And Abraham, I don't know, he was such a friend to God and so full of faith, you might think the Lord wouldn't have to speak to him hardly at all. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. If God speaks to you seven times in your life, and you can enumerate some, what about when He spoke to you the word of salvation? What about when He showed you the will of God for your life? What about when you came to the crossroads about your own family life? And God pushed you up in a corner. I very well remember when God dealt with me about me trying to play God to my wife and girls. I very well remember. And the Holy Ghost reminded me that if He was able to deal with me and work with me, He was able, well able, to work with my wife and my children. Now let me just punch that a little bit. There's some men who think their headship in the home means that they are to go to such extremes that if they have to humiliate their family and embarrass them before everybody else to keep their batting average up in the presence of everybody else, most of the time the brethren, they're going to do it. Ah, listen to me, friend. You better let those young'uns be young'uns while they're young'uns. I said, sit up here, sit up here. I'm going to take you out and beat you. I was in a meeting not long ago, so help me, this woman took this little old fella out about 8 times. And I was feeling so sorry for him, I was about ready to take her out. That's right. Brother. Somebody said, well, mine's mean as the devil. Well, look who they came from. Give them a little chance, huh? I'm trying to tell you, I can go back to the day in my life when God cornered me about me trying to play God. And hey, if you're not careful, you'll not only try to play God over your family, you'll try to play God over everybody else. Did you know most of the time that a lot of Christian folks know more about the will of God for your life than they do for their own? Listen to me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if God manifests Himself to you 7 times and to somebody else 5 times and I only get to experience Him on 2 occasions, you think I'm going to blow up and pout because you have more experiences with God than me? No, sir. I'm just going to sit back and shout because the Lord even paid me any attention at all. I'm here to tell you, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Abraham didn't have a thing on you and me. What about old brother Joseph? We all like that part where he's reigning. But don't forget, there were some downward steps before he ever reached the throne in Egypt. But I want to tell you, God is no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And He is able to exalt you and raise you up just as He did Brother Joseph. Somebody said, boy, wouldn't you like to have a burning bush experience like old Moses had? If I could see a bush on fire, boy, I tell you, God could really do something with me then. Hey, you don't have to wait for a bush to catch on fire. Let God set you ablaze. Let God set your life on fire. Oh, I got to studying that bush not long ago, and I found out that it was the common, ordinary thorn bush. I thought that describes most of us. Sticking, prickling, all out of shape, always aggravating everybody around us instead of being a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, if God could set that bush on fire, He can set every thorn bush in here on fire. Amen. Oh, brother. I say He's unchanging in His program. The patriarchs didn't have a thing on you and me. What about the prophets? Little Samuel didn't have a thing on you and me. Wasn't his calling an interesting one? In his youth, his mother left him with Eli. And you remember how that in the night he heard a voice and thought that Eli was calling him. And twice he went to Eli and awakened him. And Eli said, son, I didn't wake you up. That wasn't me talking. And finally, Eli said, that must be God talking. Son, the next time you hear that voice, you say, hear my Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Little Samuel, just a little fella, went back and laid down and he heard that voice again. And he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And God began to talk to that young fella. God's call was on him. He was to be a prophet mighty in Israel. Used of God to anoint David as king. My, what an instrument, what a vessel of God unto honor he was. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have a thing on you and me. Somebody said, oh, I wish y'all pray for me. I wish God had talked to my young'uns like He did Samuel. Why, He's talking to them all the time. In fact, they're probably hearing more from Him than you are. These young'uns fascinate me, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting a good meeting where God moves in, not just in a blessing way, but in a convicting way. Guess who hits the altar first? Those little ones. They seem to sense the dealing of God. One writer said that children were what the conductors on the electricity lines are. They're good conductors of spiritual electricity. Well, I tell you, God can speak to my children. Somebody said, oh, if we don't have revival, I don't know what's going to happen to my children. I tell you what might happen. God might wake them up in the middle of the night. They wasn't having revival in little Samuel's day. Brother even old Eli, his sons had gone to the devil. And there he was, so backslidden, he thought the little old boy was having a dream instead of God speaking to him. Took him twice before he came to his senses. But I say to you, I don't care what age we live in, whether it's in the dark ages or where it's in this technological age, God is still the same yesterday and today and forever. And He can communicate to the smallest child. Then I thought about David. You know, the Bible talks about David sitting before the Lord. It's a worshipful expression. He wanted to build the Lord a house. And the Lord said, no, David, your son Solomon will build a house. And of thy kingdom there shall be no end. And he said, I know that I called you from following the sheep. And now I've exalted you. And David was so humbled in that God would give him these wonderful promises that his kingdom would not be exterminated, that his son would build the Lord a house. The Bible says that he sat before the Lord. He just sat in awe, in the presence of deity. Somebody said, boy, I wish I could sit before the Lord like David did. What do you think we've been doing here tonight? Huh? You don't have to be in some Bible setting, in some Old Testament or New Testament setting, for Jesus to minister to your heart. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. What about Isaiah? Boy, I love the call of Isaiah, don't you? He said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He was in the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, his train filled the temple. And he said the holy messengers were all crying, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah said, I looked over there and one of the pillars of the temple began to quiver and began to shake. And keep in mind now, Isaiah wasn't in the tabernacle with those temporary posts. He was in the temple with those firm, strong pillars that had been fixed for time and history. And Isaiah said those pillars began to quiver in the presence of the Holy God. Oh, hey, some of you pastors, you may feel like there's some folks in your church that's never going to move. You may have even said, I tell you, if Jesus Himself was here, they wouldn't move. I want to tell you, when God manifests His presence just right, the most fixed, determined, hard-faced pillar will move and tremble in the presence of the risen Lord. I've been in some services where I knew for sure some of them were singing during the invitation under the breath, I shall not be moved. But I want to tell you, when God manifests His holy presence, things began to move, things began to tremble, things began to shake when God gets around. Isaiah said, I cried out, woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For he said, mine eyes have seen the King. I'm going to tell you, brother, you catch a glimpse of the King, you won't be strutting around either. You'll be crying, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And you remember King Uzziah, that's the background of Isaiah's vision, was a leper. God had smitten him with leprosy because of his intrusion into God's operation of things. He was a close friend of the prophet Isaiah. Now that the leper has died his dreadful death from this terrible disease of leprosy, Isaiah must have thought, praise God, leprosy is gone now. Oh, when he caught a glimpse of God, he found out who the real leper was. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. You remember what God said in the book of Leviticus? He said the leper, when someone came by the leper was to put a black cloth over his upper lip. And he was to cry, unclean! So they would pass by on the other side. Isaiah said, I thought the leper had died. But so help me, when I caught a glimpse of God, he said, I found out I was the leper. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he said, not only am I a leper, but he said, I'm living in the middle of a leper colony. He said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, the heavenly throne, the earthly throne had been vacated because of death. But the heavenly throne was still full because of his life. Now, watch this. Isaiah said, one of those messengers, seraphim, took tongs and reached down on the altar and got a live coal and came over and put it on his lips and said, lo, thine iniquity is purged, thy sin is cleansed. And Isaiah heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Lord, send me. Now, there's a principle here that gets bigger to me as the years go on. You just don't jump on the altar saying, Lord, here I am. The Spirit of God's altar has got to get on you first before you get on His altar. That seraphim had to put the Spirit of God's altar on Isaiah before Isaiah ever got on God's altar. When I was a little boy in my hometown of Saluda, my home church of Friendship Baptist, and in the home school of Saluda Grammar School, there was a family and five daughters of that family by the name of Bradley. There's one of them that I was particularly interested in. I couldn't keep my eyes off of her. I'd go to church and look around at her, and she would stick her tongue out at me. But in 1968, after I had asked her several times to my own embarrassment, can I take you here or would you let me have a date with you tonight? She had always said no. Well, I'm going with somebody else. And it was always funny to me. But somebody else always had a nice car. All I had was that old 56 Chevrolet 6 banger. And I reckon it was my car. Yeah. But I got up the boldness one night over at Macedonia Baptist Church. I said, I'm going to ask her one more time. And I said, Cindy, can I take you home tonight? And she looked at me like she had never looked at me before. And she said, I'll go ask my brother-in-law, Bob. You know what got on me that night when she looked at me? The spirit of the altar. Come on, some of you are slow. The marriage altar. That's right, buddy. And for 3 years, that burning coal from off the marriage altar was on me. And finally, on July the 3rd, 19 years ago today, that spirit off of the marriage altar that had got on me at Macedonia Church brought me down to the marriage altar at the Friendship Baptist Church, and I heard them finally say, the preacher finally say, "I now pronounce you a husband and wife." Listen to me. If the spirit of the altar gets on you, it won't be long till you'll be getting on the altar. What we need in this hour is a renewed experience of Holy Ghost conviction, where the spirit of the altar gets on us and we find ourselves seeking the altar of God and saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Somebody said, "Boy, I wish I'd been Isaiah." Hey, Isaiah didn't have a thing on you and me. The Lord Jesus still is full of glory. He's still the Holy One. He's still the risen Lord. And He would manifest Himself to you that you might experience His glory and His divine plan for your life. What about the disciples? I'm talking about Jesus. He's unchanging in His person. He's unchanging in His program. What about the disciples? Simon Peter, John, Matthew, James and John, Nathaniel, Thomas. What about those fellas? Somebody would say, "Boy, I wish I could have lived back then and walked the shores of the Galilee with Jesus and walked right down that old city of Jerusalem side by side with Jesus." Hey, those boys don't have a thing on you and me. You can walk with Him in downtown Greer. You can walk with Him in downtown Chicago. You can walk with Him in downtown Atlanta. You can walk with Him in downtown Saluda. Are you listening to me? Oh, thank God for the privilege of knowing Him who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Before we leave tonight, I want to magnify a brief and final point. I believe this text is not only a cry concerning Christ's unchanging person and Christ's unchanging program, but I'd like to mention lastly, He is unchanging in His people. You get this? Does it sound like this to you? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. No, you know why I've decided what I am? It's about time somebody invented a new little label anyhow. You know what I am? I've decided I am a horizontalist. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's not a vertical statement. That's horizontal. That's what I am. I'm a horizontalist. Listen to me, brother. The indication to my heart is that what Jesus was in my past, He can be that right now in my present. Somebody said, "I want y'all to pray for me. I used to have such a testimony for God, and I used to walk with Jesus, and I used to know the Lord in a mighty way. I used to read my Bible, and I used to pray. I used to try to be a pretty good church, but I wish y'all would pray for me." Hey, friend, you don't have to look back yonder at what you used to be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There's no change in Him. Wonder why there's so much change in us. I believe it's because we experience Him so little. We try to operate in our own energy, in our own strength, in our own know-how, in what we believe or what we've heard. instead of looking to Christ and experiencing Jesus, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You don't need to just have a renewed walk with Christ. You need to get in step with Him again. He's still the same. You're the one that's changed. I'm the one that's flopped around. It's not Him. I was preaching in a church a few weeks ago. It tickled me to death. The preacher said, "Brother Tom, I want to tell you what happened last Sunday." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you know, we have a junior church back here with about 100 children in it." And he said, last Sunday, they gave certain boys yo-yos. And he said, one of them broke loose out of that building and got over here in this building. He said, "I turned around, and there that little old fellow was on the corner of the platform with his yo-yo going up and down." He said, "I looked out at the crowd and they were paralyzed." He said, "While I was trying to figure out what in the world to do, it came to me, and I had a couple of the fellas taken back, and I told the people, 'Hey, y'all just heard that little old boy do more preaching about the way y'all live in about 30 seconds than what you've heard from me for all these years.'" He said, "That boy just described about 95% of this church. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down." Now, why is that? When Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, I'll tell you why it is. We're listening to this one, and we're following this one, and we're reading after this one, and we're trying to figure out what this one, and we're missing Him. Oh, don't miss Jesus. He's here tonight to do for you what He's been doing for His people down through the ages. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I'm not D.L. Moody. I'm not Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I'm a mountain boy from off the top of Saluda Mountain. But this thing's come home to me in the last year like never before. We talk about how great preachers we've had in the past. Boy, the great Spurgeon we hear. The fervent Moody. Torrey, the Wesley brothers, Whitfield. We just get lost in all the great ones of the ages gone by. And we forget that Jesus Christ is the same right now. Huh? Boy, I've determined I want to be what God will allow me to be. For His glory in this hour, right now, experiencing Christ as He is. Preaching the Bible just like it is to a generation that's in the dark. In the Saluda Grammar School vicinity, there's an old rock sitting up on the side of the hill. I wore the seat out of a many pair of breeches. Dungarees sliding off the side of that rock. Now, they've changed everything. The playground doesn't look like it used to be. They built a brand new, much bigger facility than when I was there. And the ball field is further out than it used to be. The water fountain has been moved around on the other side of the building. And they've added some new sidewalks and steps. And the buses don't even park where they used to park. But sitting up there on the side of that hill, there's an old rock that hadn't budged. Woo! what's needed? Somebody go up there and clean out around that rock. And some of the boys could wear out the seat of their britches coming down the side of it. And some of their mamas could worry about them falling off the top like my mama used to worry about me falling off the top. Oh, so it is spiritually. Your playground may have changed. The water fountain may be in a different position. You may park your vans and your buses in a different place. Everything may look a little bit different. But I want to tell you, the Rock of Ages has not changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Tom, you're forgetting about all the dispensations. But I'm not forgetting about what the Bible says. The Bible says, one more time, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You can walk with Him. Your children can know Him. Your grandchildren can experience Him. When you're gone, your great-grandchildren can know Him. I'm saying, praise God, He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore.